Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Luke chapter 4. I read for you again these words. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So far, the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Today, Jesus tells us who he is and what he had come to do. Some weeks after his baptism, Jesus returns to his hometown of Nazareth. And, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And as we heard, Jesus unrolls the scroll and finds the text that he's going to speak on. It's from Isaiah chapter 61. And this is what he reads. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This prophecy from Isaiah was written as coming from the mouth of the Messiah. That it is the Messiah, the Christ, is clear from these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." In ancient Israel, certain kings and priests and prophets were anointed. They actually had oil poured over their heads. And that's what it means to be anointed. This anointing set them apart as God's choice. God was pouring out his blessing and power upon them. The Lord was pouring out his Spirit to empower them to carry out their office. God had promised King David that one day one of his sons, one of his descendants, would sit on his throne as the great once and for all king for God's people, to reign forever over an eternal kingdom of blessing. This promised son of David, the end-time king who would undo all the woes and miseries that we suffer, this promised deliverer that God's people look forward to, became known as the Messiah, the Christ. Literally, the Anointed One. The question was, who would he be and when would he come? Now in the synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus reads this messianic prophecy. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Okay, the people are thinking, he's reading about the Messiah to come. Fine. But when Jesus finishes the reading, he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What does he mean by that? Fulfilled in your hearing today? Yes, that's what he said. But how can Jesus say it is fulfilled today here in Nazareth in this synagogue? Is Jesus claiming to be the Messiah? Yes. Jesus is saying that he is the Messiah. And that's the point. That's why he's quoting this scripture and saying it is now fulfilled in him. As astonishing as it must have been to those who heard, it was absolutely true. Remember what happened when Jesus was baptized. The heavens were open. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. And the Father's voice said, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." You see, Jesus' baptism was his anointing into his messianic office. And so now Jesus says, quoting Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." The Father was sending forth his Son to do his will, to be the divine deliverer, to rescue us from our misery. That's why Jesus says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus is declaring that he is the Messiah. But he's not anointed to hold an office just to hold an office. Jesus is the Christ, not for his own sake, but for yours. His anointing has a purpose. It's stated right here in what Jesus reads. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." To proclaim good news to the poor. That's what he has come to do. Jesus has good news to proclaim. And the people he comes to proclaim it to are the poor. Now, the poor in this sense is not necessarily talking about your bank account. But the poor are those who realize their poverty before God. The poor are those who recognize that they have nothing of their own, no resources of their own to rely on when it comes to their standing before God. It's like Jesus says in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Are you poor? Do you realize and recognize your lack? Do you sense your need for a righteousness you don't have in yourself? Do you feel your need for forgiveness? This is a need that only God can supply. You have no righteousness of your own to boast about before God. Is there an emptiness in your soul that only God can fill? Is that you? Then I have good news for you today. Jesus of Nazareth proclaims such good news to you today. He is a blessing to confer upon you today. Jesus is proclaiming today in your hearing, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." The text then goes on to say the same thing in several different ways. "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. This would recall the Babylonian captivity. The people of Judah had been conquered by King Nebuchadnezzar and were taken captive to Babylon. They were hauled off to live as exiles. Finally, Babylon itself was defeated by Persia, and their king, Cyrus, issued an edict that the captives were now free to go home. Back to Judah, back to Jerusalem, back to the Promised Land. What a joy and relief that edict of Cyrus must have been to proclaim liberty to the captives. In an even greater way, this is what King Jesus came to do. He has an edict of his own to issue. Jesus has defeated the powers that held us captive: sin, Satan, death, and hell. Jesus won the victory over our enemies by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Our Babylonian captivity is over. Jesus proclaims liberty to the captives, and now we are on our way home, heading for the promised land of heaven. Jesus continues. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. All this is the good news that Jesus preaches to the poor, each phrase expressing the same wonderful reality, each with its own shade of meaning. Recovering of sight to the blind. When Jesus opens our eyes, we begin to see straight. We not only see our sins clearly and correctly, but we can now view God aright. We see that He is our merciful and loving Father. We can even see our neighbor as God sees him, which is as someone to love. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Are you broken and crushed by all the grief and misery we experience in this world? Sickness and sorrow, conflict and confusion, death and dysfunction, they all press down upon us. Jesus comes to set us free from our oppression, free from all the misery that we endure in this vale of tears. God's mercy meets our misery in the person of Jesus Christ. There is refreshment now. There is healing and wholeness and complete restoration on the way. We will experience in full on the day when Christ returns. Jesus then wraps up the reading from Isaiah by saying that he was sent to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This language would have brought to mind the year of Jubilee in ancient Israel. Every 50 years, all debts were canceled, all slaves were released. Everyone got a clean slate, a fresh start. It was the year of the Lord's favor, the time when His grace set everything aright. The year of Jubilee pointed ahead to what Jesus would fulfill. In Christ, all of your debts are canceled. Your slate is wiped clean because of the forgiveness won for you by Christ on the cross. Jesus brings in the year, the unending years of God's great grace and favor. Dear friends, Jesus' entire ministry is summed up with the words that he reads from Isaiah. These marvelous words of grace coming from Jesus' mouth today straight into your ears. And what makes them so marvelous is that Jesus actually accomplishes the things he set out to do. And now he delivers them to you to receive and rejoice in. Therefore, I say to you today, with full confidence, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Amen.